So we've been reading through this chapter, just taking kind of a summary, and today we're going to read one of the most often quoted verses cited by our acharyas. And this verse is cited in Bhaktisiddhanta, in many books of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Prabhupada quotes it many times. It's also quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, many different literatures. This is text 37, the second chapter. Bhayam dvitya binivesita shadisharapetasya vipariyo smiti tanmaya yato buddha bhajetam vakyaika yesham guru devatatma. Translation. Fear arises when a living entity misidentifies himself as a material body because of absorption in the external illusory energy of the Lord. When the living entity thus turns away from the Supreme Lord, he also forgets his own constitutional position as a servant of the Lord. This bewildering, fearful condition is affected by the potency for illusion called Maya. Therefore, an intelligent person should engage unflinchingly in the unalloyed devotional service of the Lord under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master whom he should accept as his worshipable deity and as his very life and soul. Reading from the purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, the objection may be raised that since fear is caused by ignorance, it can be dispelled by knowledge, and there's no need to worship the Supreme Lord. The living entity falsely identifies with his material body, family, society, and so on, and he simply has to give up this false identification. Then, what will Maya be able to do? In reply to this argument, Srila Sridhar Swami has quoted the following verse from Bhagavad Gita 7:14. Daiviyesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mameva ye prapadyante mayam etam durantite. Quote, this divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature is difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. End of quote. The living entity called Jiva Tattva is one of the potencies of the Supreme Lord. But the constitutional position of the living entity is tattvastha, or marginal. Being minute, every living entity is eternally dependent upon the Supreme Living Entity, Krishna. This is confirmed in the Vedic literature as follows. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam eko bahunam yo viridakti kama. Quote, among all the eternally conscious beings, there is one supreme eternal living being who is supplying the needs of all the innumerable others. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami has stated, Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arasava Vritya. Krishna is the only independent controller. All other living entities depend on him. CC Adi 5.142. Just as a finger is part and parcel of the body, and therefore must always be engaged in bodily service, we as parts and parcels of Krishna, mamayam so jiva loki jiva bhuta sanatanaha, have the eternal duty, sanatana dharma, of engaging in the unalloyed service of the Lord. Gurave Guru Chandraya Kayai Tsagalai Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya.
So, in this material world, Ahara Nidra Bhaya Maitanam Cha, the main activities are eating, sleeping, fearing, and defending. This is what people do for their hobbies. Some people even, they pay money so they can have some fear. Maybe they go to some scary movie. Maybe this or that. But the nature of everyone in this material world is they're fearful. And this verse in the Bhagavatam is supplying us with the answer to why we're fearful. Because dvitiya binivesatasya, we're seeing some duality. We're seeing something separate from the Lord. Shoka moha bayapaha. This taking shelter of the Lord, just hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, very easily drives away fear, lamentation, and illusion. If we find ourselves being fearful, being depressed, Prabhupada says in one place, he said that if you're not feeling happy, it means you're a rascal. It means that we're absorbed in something separate from Krishna. The living entities come into this world not as a blank slate, but with some vasana, some impressions from a previous life. But still, when they're born, that living entity doesn't have any identification at all. Prabhupada says that the first identification that we have is known as anumoya. I'm hungry. That's me. I am hunger. And then that living entity, after some time, maybe then they'll begin to recognize, oh, this person's taking care of me. This is my mother. This is my father. And then after some time, they hear their parents talking to them, oh, you're such a sweet little girl. Oh, I'm a girl. What exactly a girl is, they haven't figured that out for some time. But then after some time they get another designation, I'm cute, and people laugh when I do little things. And people love me. I'm loved. That's who I am. And then after some years they go to school, and then I'm a student. That's what I am. And I'm a little girl. And I like to play with my friends. And they meet some other little girl in school and they say, oh, I like you. Would you be my best friend? Yes, we'll be best friends. And they write each other's names on their hands or something after knowing each other for 5 minutes or something like that. And then as that little girl, that jivatma, that soul in the body of a girl grows older, then when she gets usually about 13, 14 years of age, then she becomes a goddess. And all the boys, they come and they worship her feet and they fall down at her feet, and she gets another identification. Yes, I'm a goddess, and all I have to do is smile with some boy and he'll come and he'll do whatever I want. He'll carry my books for me, he'll buy a nice drink for me, he'll do this or that for me. And then she becomes a little older and she meets a nice boy and they get married. And then she has another upadhi, another designation. I'm married. I'm a wife. The living entity actually has nothing to do with any of these upadhis, any of these designations. But because we don't know who we are, we're constantly looking for some costume to put on. We're in the midst of a great identity crisis, as they say in psychology in the West. We have no idea who we are. So like a person going into a costume shop who tries on a cowboy hat, tries on a suit of a policeman, tries on a uniform of an army man, in so many different ways, we're putting on different costumes and identifying with those costumes because that gives us some security. Otherwise, who am I? I don't know. So we're identifying with all these different designations that arise with us. And so for that jiva, that soul, who happened to take birth in the body of a woman, and she becomes a wife. Oh, this is what I am. This is who I am. I'm Mrs. Smith. And then after some time, they have a child. And a new designation comes. I am. This is what I am. I am a mother. But all of these designations depend on external things. And they really have nothing to do with the body. That jiva soul who is occupying the body of a woman is thinking, I am a mother. But that identification is dependent upon the existence of another jiva occupying the body of a baby. And if somehow that baby dies, then that woman, that jiva and the soul of the body of a woman, will go through a great crisis. Not just because they miss that person, but because it's also an identity crisis. Now, all of a sudden, I've lost part of who I am. Arjuna was going through this in the first chapter of the Gita. And therefore, the first chapter of the Gita is called by some of our acharyas as Vishada Yoga, or the Yoga of Lamentation. Krishna, he brought Arjuna. Krishna, Arjuna told him, Senayor Ubayor Madhye, Vatamastapayame Achyuta, O Achyuta, Chalo, go, take my chariot. You're my driver, you take my chariot in between the armies. I want to see the enemy. And so Krishna brought Arjuna there and he showed Arjuna the enemy. But what did he do? He waved his hand and he indicated both armies. And he addressed them as your enemy. Not just the Kauravas, but also the Pandavas. What's going on here? Krishna is the driver of Arjuna. He's indicating that if you want me as a Supreme Lord to drive the chariot of your life, to take the reins and to guide you, then you as a warrior have to understand who the enemy is. And the enemy is not what you think. The enemy is not just Duryodhan and Karna. But the enemy is your upadis, your designations. And Arjuna, seeing all this, he becomes overwhelmed with grief. Why? He tells Krishna, I can't fight. How can I fight against my grandfather Bhishmadev? How can I fight against my teacher, Dronacharya? How can I kill my cousin brother, Duryodhan? No, Krishna, I can't do this. And he puts down his bow and arrows. I'm not going to fight. No. In one sense, this indicates suicide. Because Arjuna, if he puts down his bow and arrows in that place, and he's not going to fight, it means, okay, just kill me. That's what he's saying. And so the living entity, when faced in a situation like this, the situation they're going to lose their bodily extensions in the form of their grandfather, their mother, their father, their brother, then let me commit suicide. Because this is who I am. This is my identity. Just like if we lose a relative, probably most of us have lost at least one of our grandparents or one of our parents. When we lose that parent, we feel like part of me is gone. And there is a part of me that's gone because part of our own self-identification is no longer there. One of our upadis, which like if you ever read the cartoon strip Peanuts by Charles Schulz. There's one character named Linus, and Linus has what he calls his security blanket. He's a little boy, he's always sucking his thumb, and he has his blanket, which he keeps with him. Sometimes a child does that, has a blanket, which or a teddy bear or something. So we have a security blanket, which we hold very close to us. And that the security blanket is our upadis. We identify with these different designations. And Arjuna, he is. I'm the grandson of Bhishma. So how can I kill him? If I kill him, I'm going to kill part of myself. And this, Krishna is indicating to us, is a real war. And this is where fear arises. Bhayam dvitiya abhinivesita shari shadupetasya vipari yosmiti. Because abhinivesha, we're absorbed in something else. We have some vipari do smiti. We have some vipari. We have some misidentification with these upadis. And those things cause us to not think about the Lord. And Arjuna, this is known as Sakachanjanyaya, that Krishna, he's speaking to Arjuna. He's not really speaking to Arjuna. He's speaking to us. Arjuna is his eternal associate in this material world. He's Nara, or Nara Narayan. He's Krishna's eternal associate. But he's speaking to Arjuna, indicating us, just like Sakachanjanyaya. Sometimes the mother wants to point out the moon, the chandra, to the son, child. And so she says, "You see the moon?" And the little child says, "No, I don't see." "Well, do you see the tree?" "Yes, I see the tree." "Do you see the big branch on the right, the sukkha?" "Yes, I see the branch." "Oh, now you, just at the end of the branch, you can see the moon." So Sakachandranyaya, she's pointing out the branch, but by pointing out the branch, with this logic, she's really pointing out the moon. So Arjuna, he's teaching us in Bhagavad Gita a very important thing. This first chapter of the Gita is very wonderful. Most people don't like to speak so much in the first chapter. There's nothing really important there. But it's so very, very important for all of us. It's the basis of all of our fear and illusion, lamentation in this world. Up to the point where people even want to commit suicide. Because this Viparyoga Smriti, we have this forgetfulness, Smriti. We're forgetting the Lord. And we have some misidentification because we're not seeing Krishna everywhere. And even as so-called devotees, we fall prey to this thing. We're not understanding our real position, and we have some anxiety. We're seeing something separate from Krishna. But if we're always seeing Krishna, we're always seeing Krishna through his instructions that he's given to me through Sadguru and through Shastra. We're always seeing Krishna in everything that we do, then there's no question of lamentation or illusion or fear. The famous story that once, on one occasion, Gaurakishore Das Babaji in Nabadwip was walking through the streets and some young children started throwing stones at him. And Gaurakishore Das Babaji turned around and became very angry and he started shouting, shaking his finger. He said, "Krishna, stop this right now. Or if you don't stop this, I'm going to tell your mother." So he wasn't blaming those children. He was seeing Krishna everywhere. And if we see Krishna behind everything that happens to us, when we lose money, when we lose a family member, when we go somewhere else and someone chastises us, when someone gives us something, when someone takes something away from us, if we can see Krishna always, then there's no question of fear. I'm being held in the hands of Krishna. Krishna's taking good care of me. But because we don't see that, then we're always in anxiety. We're always in illusion. And we're suffering in so many, many different ways. And because of this, the living entity, there's no question of a living entity being able to control the mind. They're seeing everything in terms of the material body. In the 23rd chapter of the 11th canto, it's described, "Tam durjayam satrum asaya vegam aruntudam tanna vijichikichit kravanchya sadvigraham aptramartyam mitram udasina vipundimudaham." That someone who doesn't conquer their irrepressible enemy, the shatru, his greatest enemy, which is what? Our mind. Whose urges are intolerable, asaya vegam, and who torments the heart, causes us so much torture. Such people, they become completely bewildered, and what do? They create useless quarrel with other persons. This is the nature of someone who hasn't conquered the mind. Yeah? Thus they conclude that other people, mitran udasina vipundimudha, they're my friends, or they're my enemies, or they're someone indifferent to me, under the influence of the mundane mind. So the mind has to take shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna, or by a charnat of Indurai, And if we do that, Bhajahure Mana, Sri Nanda Nandana, Upaya Charanada Vindure, then we achieve fearlessness. Otherwise, we're always in a situation of fear in this material world, because we're seeing something separate from Krishna. It's described in the third canto of the Bhagavatam. Abhisandhaya yohingsam dhamba matsarjam evava samrambi bhinadrigbhavam maya kuryat sitamasa tamasa. Someone who does bhakti, but they're envious and they're proud, they're violent, angry. Someone who's bhinadrigbhavam, who's a separatist. Such a person, maya kuryat sitamasa, he's considered to be in the mode of darkness, even though he's performing some kind of bhakti. But dhambam matsarjam eva hi hingsam dhambam matsarjam eva hi. He has some envy, some pride, dhamba, some matsarjam. He's criticizing, doing politics with other people. And he's seeing bhinadrig bhavam. Very interesting thing. He's a separatist. Prabhupada, in his purport, he writes, bhinadrig indicates a separatist. A separatist is one who sees his interests as separate from that of the Supreme Lord. Bhayam dvitiya binivesita sha. He sees something separate from the Lord. He sees his own self-interest as something different from Krishna. Mixed devotees, Prabhupada says, are devotees in the modes of passion and ignorance, think that the interest of the Supreme Lord is supplying the orders of the devotee. The interest of such devotees is to draw from the Lord as much as possible for their sense gratification. This is a separatist mentality. And we all have this so much. Oh, I don't like to chant Hare Krishna, because I have to think of Krishna. I'd much rather think about what I'm going to do today, how I want to contact my parents or my friend, and some fun things I'm going to do. I want to think of myself and how I look. That we have this separatist mentality. And this is devotional service in the mode of ignorance. And because we have this separatist mentality, we become overwhelmed by fear. Bhayam vitya abhinivesita shat. And we see different people. This is my friend, this is my enemy. Oh, this person is chastising me. They're always chastising me. This person is my enemy. This other person, they're praising me. I like this person. They're always encouraging me. They're my friend. Why should we think like that? We should see that Krishna is controlling everything. And Krishna is sometimes chastising me. Krishna is sometimes encouraging me. So this mind is our great enemy. Udhararatmanatmanam natmanam namavasadayat admayava yatmano bhandu atmayava riparatmanaha. Krishna tells Arjuna that you should deliver yourself with the help of your mind, and not degrade yourself. The mind is a friend of the living entity and his enemy as well. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentaries on the 12th chapter of the Gita, he describes three different things, abhyasa, manana, and smarana, in relationship with the mind and how to control the mind. Abhyasa yoga yuktena. In the beginning, abhyasa means practice. In the beginning, we have to practice this activity. It's sadhana bhakti. And we have to rise early, we have to take bath, we have to follow four regular principles, and we chant a certain number of rounds every day, and we do certain activities every day. And we're doing these things, but they're external. We're not really doing them in a deep way. It's just some activity of the body and mind. But Vishnu says that if we do them over and over again, then something happens. If we practice them, then our heart becomes pure. And after some time, then comes the platform of manana, or contemplation. We have to come to the platform of contemplation. In the beginning of our spiritual life, contemplation is oftentimes unpleasant for many people. We don't like to think. And psychologists and sociologists have pointed out that the nature of societies is that it encourages people not to think. And many people, they just become lazy. And they use this as their upadhi. Yes, I'm an Indian. I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm a Hungarian, I'm an American, I'm a member of this society, I'm a member of the Gorgavinda Swami Sishya Samaj, and that's who I am. That's my identity. And we use that as a kind of crutch. We leave all of our upadis when we join this society, and many times we see this causes a lot of anxiety to devotees, most of the time. I was the bhakti leader in LA for some time. And I remember what a crisis it was. Everybody who had joined the bhakti program, they had to go through some crisis. Because for so many years, they were going to the costume store called the shopping center of the mall, and they were buying clothes. And yes, this is what I am. I'm a person who likes to wear tight Levi's jeans that are very faded. I'm really cool. And I wear these kind of shirts, Western shirts or Hawaii shirts or whatever. This is my identity. And they would, just like we go to the store and somebody takes a different clothes off the rack, so in effect we go and we take an identity off the rack. And I like Beatles music. You know, I like this kind of music. I like classical music. And that's who I am. But then when they become a devotee, all of a sudden they have no more upadis. All those upadis, that those crutches they've been leaning on, we tell them, get rid of your jeans, huh? Get rid of your record collection. You have to cut your hair, your beautiful hair that you've been combing and taking care of so long. And all of a sudden there's a great crisis. The biggest crisis is, who am I? It's the same crisis that Arjuna was experiencing also. And there is so much anxiety. And many of them, most of them can't take it. And most of them will leave. Sometimes they'll run away, sometimes in the middle of the night, to go back because they need those crutches, their identifications. For those of us who stay, most of us, we look for another crutch. It's very difficult when you first join because you can't even hardly identify yourself as a devotee. Because the devotees are given class and they know so many shlokas and they know the words to the songs, they know the melodies, they can play harmonium, they can play mridanga, but we don't have any of those skills when we join. So I can't even identify myself as a devotee. But we get something. I'm a new bhakta. I'm a bhakti. We have that identification. And Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, understanding this crisis of the living entities, understanding this desperate need that we all feel in our heart to have some kind of identification, they've very kindly given us a crutch in the form of the institution. I'm an ISKCON member. Sometimes Prabhupada said that ISKCON is there in the spiritual world. But I don't think it's there in the same form we have it here in this material world. And if we think about it, these different upadis are kinds of violence. For example, a parent, before we join, our parents loved us. Most children are loved by their parents. But then when you join the Hare Krishna movement, your parents become very, very angry. Because they've given you so many different designations. So many different upadis. And those upadis are a kind of violence. I love you. But it's a conditional kind of love. Therefore, love should be nirupadika priti. It should be love without designations. And therefore we say Sarvupadi vinirmuktam taparatvina nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti uchite. In the Narada Pancharatra it said that bhakti begins when we give up these upadis. These upadis are a kind of violence. I love you, you're my daughter, and as long as you do what I want you to do, as long as you get, you know, I want you to go to the university, I want you to get a good job afterwards and marry a nice Hungarian husband, and be a good Hungarian citizen, and then I love you. But if you don't do that, then I become very, very angry. And I'll reject you. I hate you. I want to say that because of upadis. These upadis are a kind of violence. So we may have some upadi also in terms of the institution. I'm an ISKCON member. But that's also a kind of violence because that kind of upadi, if we're seeing it in a material way, means whoever is a member of ISKCON is good. And if they're not a member of ISKCON, they're bad. Well, what is that? Krishna is the father of all living entities. He's also the father of other types of Vaishnavas, other devotees, and even Christians and Buddhists and other personalities. We should love all living entities. The nature of a Kanishta Adhikari, as we describe it, is Archaya Mevahari Pujamya Sarayate. He has faith in worshipping Krishna. He has faith in his Guru, that my Gurudev is a manifestation of Krishna. But Natad Bhakti Suchanyeshu. Other persons, other devotees, and other persons, they're not good. That's Sabhakta Prakrita Smitaha. This is the nature of a Prakrita Bhakta, a materialistic devotee. So such a person, they need some identification, and we see that sometimes when such a person comes to the society, a very frightening thing happens. They get Kaivalya Mukti, and they merge with the institution, and they become ISKCON, or they become the Gaudiya Math. This is me. I am this institution. Because they need, they're so desperate for some kind of crutch. But rather than thinking I'm a servant of Krishna, rather than thinking I'm a servant of my Guru, and I'm serving his Seva Sangha in the form of the institution, they identify themselves with that institution. And it's an upadhi. And it creates a kind of violence. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has instructed us that we should give up all these upadhis. He says that Naham Viprona Charanarapaiti Naipi Vaisho Nasudra Naham Varni Nachigraha Patirno Vanastriyatira Kintu Proja Nikila Paramananda Pranamritira Gopi Bhartahu Padakarmalaya Das Das Anudasaha. I give up all these designations. I'm not a Brahman, I'm not a Vaishya Sudra, I'm not a Kshatriya, I'm not a sannyasi, I'm not a vanaprastha or a brahmachari or a grihastha. The only thing I identify myself with is a servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. This is nirupadika priti. This is love with no designation. And we have to give this up. We have to give up all these designations. So this comes by fixing our mind on Krishna. So these three processes, abhyasa, in the beginning we have to practice this thing. You have a room that's very, very dirty. It may take you weeks and weeks to clean that room. You keep sweeping and sweeping, and after some time you might even forget your purpose was to have a clean room. It's just you're totally engaged in the activity of sweeping, and the dust is coming up, and it's a very passionate activity, you're working very hard. But then after some time of cleaning that room every day, all of a sudden the room is clean. And then you become peaceful. So when we practice Cheto Dharpana Marjanam, when the heart, the mirror of our heart becomes purified, then what happens is that we begin to see what's going on. And Thakur Bhaktivinoda in his articles, which he called Bhakti Tattva Vivek, he described that when a mirror is covered with dust, you can't see it. You can't see anything in that mirror. But when we begin cleansing that mirror, the first thing is you can see some faint image. And he said that's compared to the living entity who, upon cleaning the mirror of the heart, the first thing is they can see their situation within varna and ashram. It's still a material, mundane thing. But they're beginning to see their situation in varna and ashram. They can recognize something about themselves. And in such a condition, Bhaktivinoda says that the mirror then acquires an upadhi, a designation. This designation, upadhi, he says, is when the mirror is covered with something. It's not really the mirror, but it has is a dirty mirror. And we think like that sometimes, even as devotees, we say, oh, I'm really lusty, or I'm really fallen. Prabhu, what can I say? I'm sorry, I'm just really, really fallen, Prabhu. We say like that. We identify. That's our upadhi. And it covers our consciousness. It covers our real identity as being a spirit soul. We take shelter of this ridiculous upadhi. When Bhaktivinoda said, he says that when something covers the swabhava or nature of an object, then that covering is called the object's upadhi or designation. So our real swabhava is to serve Krishna. Krishna Nitya Das, that's our real nature. But when some other designation covers us, then, and we become, the jiva becomes Mayana Abhinivesha, or absorbed in material energy, then the material nature imposes a false designation upon him. And then in that adulterated stage, the natural bhakti of the jiva becomes deteriorated. And if it does appear, it appears as bhakti of Bas. So for such devotees, as we're reading in the third canto, who have these designations and are separatists, they may perform some bhakti, but it's bhakti in the mode of ignorance. So we have to give that up. And how do we give that up? The nine yogendras, they're advising Maharaj Nimi, the bhaktyaika yesham guru deva tatma. You have to take shelter of your guru and worship him as deva tatma. Two words are there. You worship him as your god, deva, because you see it. Charjamam vijanayam navamanyekta karichin. That my Gurudev is none different from Krishna. And you worship him as Atma. Seeing is none different from yourself. We have such a close relationship with Guru in that way. And so such a person who receives an instruction from Guru, they practice abhyasa with enthusiasm. And after practicing doing these activities, then the mirror of the heart becomes cleansed. Then the next stage comes of manana, and we become a little peaceful when things become clear, clean, and our mind becomes... Then at that stage, Vishwanath says, we become calm enough, peaceful enough, we can start to think about, what am I doing? Whereas that neophyte, the Prakriti Bhakta, is just thinking, I am ISKCON, I am the institution. And he's not really thinking very deeply. When we advance a little bit more, we begin to contemplate, why did Prabhupada create this society? What was his purpose? And why am I chanting Hare Krishna? What does the Maha Mantra mean? And why am I doing this? In that platform of manana, the living entity is peaceful enough that they can do that. They become absorbed enough that they can actually peacefully think about what they're doing. And then after some practice of manana, some time of doing manana, or contemplation, doing bhajan with contemplation and what they're doing, then Vishwanath says, comes a platform of smarana, where we naturally remember Krishna. One sadhu once said that smarana means marana. Smarana, remembrance, means death. That when we've died, when we've given up all of our upadis, we've given up all of our designations, at that point, then we can actually begin to do smarana. And Krishna will come to our mind and heart in a natural way. So, in Hari Bhakti Vilas, the Mantranava Shastra is quoted, Mana Sanharanam So Cham Monam Mantrartha Chintanam Avyagratva Manirvedo Japa Sampatti Hetavaha. It gives us some description how we can perfect our japa. He says that if someone wants to perfect their japa, their chanting of the holy names, they have to cultivate certain qualities. The first of which is Mana Sanharanam. We have to control the mind. And then socham, we have to develop some internal and external purity. Monam, we should be silent. And mantrata chintanam, we should contemplate the meaning of the mantra that we're chanting. Avyagratvam, anirvedo, we should be patient. And we should be steadfast. Utsaha nishchaya dharyat. Tat tat karma pavartana. We do this activity, tat tat karma pavartana, with patience and confidence and enthusiasm. How do we get those qualities? Through association with people who have them, through associating with Srila Prabhupada in the form of his books, and by hearing Nam Mahima, glorification of the holy name, then, oh, this is something that I want. And then we can be enthusiastic, then we can be patient. It may take me many, many lifetimes, but I'm not going to give up. My rascal mind may be beating me every day and causing me so many pains and so many troubles. And because my stupid mind is always absorbed in all these upadis, is not thinking of Krishna, therefore fear is coming, but I'm not going to listen to my stupid mind. And even though my stupid mind may beat me up every day, still I'm going to fight with it. Still I'm not going to give up. I'm going to chant. So the Mantranava Shastra describes this thing. And we should be patient, and we should be steadfast. I'm not going to give this up. Japa sampatti hetava. And someone does this, so they can get the fruit, sampatti, the goal of their japa. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has commented on this. He says that manasangharana means repeatedly bringing the mind back when it wanders to sense objects, or when it wanders to our upadis and our anxieties in this world, because we're seeing something separate from Krishna. We have to just keep very patiently, with patience and steadfastness, we just keep bringing it back and bringing it back. And he says doing this is purity. This is the definition of socha, that I keep bringing the mind back. I keep bringing it back again and again. I'm very patient. I'm going to do it. And someone does it, that's purity. And he says that silence, mona, means to contemplate on the meaning of the mantra. Silence means mantrartha chintanam, meditating on the meaning of the mantra. It means my mind is, my stupid mind's not thinking of other things, but I'm thinking, what is the meaning of this mantra? Or I'm thinking, what is the meaning of this service that I'm doing? Not just that I do it in some mechanical, external way, but I should always be thinking, my Gurudev is with me. Krishna's with me, Prabhupada's with me. When I'm chanting the holy name, Krishna's sitting right next to me. I should behave in such a way that he's with me. When I'm doing this service, it should be with some feelings, with some consciousness. Prabhupada said that Krishna conscious means first becoming Krishna, becoming conscious. We're unconscious right now, and we're doing something, we're just doing it in a mechanical way. So we do that with some determination, that's abhyasa. But then after some time comes manana, and we can contemplate. So we should contemplate the meaning of the mantra. And Bhaktivinoda says, avigratva means that one should not rush one's chanting in order to finish the fixed number of rounds. Don't do things in a rush. Be patient. Anirveda, he says, means that one should not lose hope when he doesn't attain the expected results as quickly as expected. We have to be very, very patient. My Guru Maharaji used to tell the story of Suparnaka. What was Suparnaka's fault? Why did the Lord order Lakshman to cut off her nose and ears? Well, her fault was that she was lusty and attracted to Lord Ramachandra. Is that a fault? I wish that I was attracted to Lord Ramachandra or Krishna. I wish I was lusty toward him. Krishna says in the Gita, yayatam mam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajamyam. I always reciprocate with someone who approaches me. What was the fault of Suparnaka? Why did he cut off her nose and ears? My grandma said once, he said it was cruelty on the part of the Lord. He's being cruel. But that's the apara vichara, the apparent consideration. In tattva vichara, the absolute consideration, Lord Ramachandra actually was reciprocating with her and being merciful to her. How is he being merciful? She wanted something which he couldn't give her. Because Lord Ramachandra, who's Maryada Purushottam, the embodiment of Vedic Maryada, Vedic etiquette, he'd taken a vow of ekopatni brata. I won't accept more than one wife. So it wasn't possible for Lord Ramachandra to fulfill the desire of Suparnaka. So he wanted to fulfill her desire. But to fulfill her desire, he also had to protect her from running off with some other boys, with some other men. So what did he do? He cut off her ears and her nose. A woman with no ears and no nose, she's not going to win a beauty contest. There's no one going to want to marry her. And no one wanted to marry Suparnaka. She was tortured. And for thousands of years, Guru Maharaj said, throughout Treta Yuga, Suparnaka suffered. And she always remembered Lord Ramachandra, who did this to her. And she's always remembering how beautiful he was and her attraction to him. And for tens of thousands of years in Treta Yuga, she was thinking of the Lord in that way. And then after tens of thousands of years of suffering and meditating on the Lord like that, she took birth again. And she was able to see Krishna. In Dwarpar Yuga, he says she took birth as Kubja. And she was able to obtain the Lord. So it's not a cheap thing. It's not a quick, easy thing. We can remember this thing. And Mahaprabhu, he tells us that our attitude should be janme janme prabhu se. That life after life, I let me be your servant. I'm not praying for liberation I don't want any of those things. Natanam na janam na sundaram kavitam vajagadishakami mama janmani janmani shri. Let me take birth again and again. I don't care. But I'm going to be fixed on this thing. Of course, Srila Prabhupada also has instructed the devotees that we should be fixed. That I want liberation in this lifetime. But still at the same time, our attitude should be so patient that I don't care in another sense. I'm not going to give up the process of bhakti. Even if everything looks completely dismal and completely hopeless, even though my mind is just kicking me in the face every day, even though I'm a failure every day, I'm not going to give up. Because there's nothing else. What else do I have? And someone who behaves like that, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, that is socham. That's purity, which is required for our japa. That's abhyasa. It requires some time of practice. But if we continue to do that, then comes a platform of manana, where we can peacefully meditate on what we're doing, and finally comes a platform of smarana. And on that platform, we always see Krishna. And there's no question in Payam Dvitiya Abhinivesitasya, absorption in some other thing separate from Krishna. There's no question of fear. So we'll stop there. Grantarashana Bhagavatam ki
jam.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jam.
Gopremanandi hari bo. Questions or comments, everybody?
So, as Prabhupada said, that to be conscious is very important before you become Krishna conscious, because if you hear Krishna Katha with this ignorance that you don't recognize all the things happening around you, so please, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that you should become very conscious about some of your anartha to be removed. So not just you practicing in ignorance Krishna consciousness, and you just lose that anartha. No, you should be very aware of this. Can you please speak more about this process?
My Guru Maharaj used to say that Vaishnavas are great fault finders. What does that mean? Prabhupada says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, one purport, that a Vaishnava is one who's adosha darshi, who doesn't see fault in others. My Guru Maharaj said, no, a Vaishnava sees all the faults in himself. And we should always be constantly looking for faults in ourselves, but not faults in others. But looking for faults in ourselves doesn't mean that we start indulging in self-pity, like Arjuna was doing, and feeling sorry for ourselves. Oh, I'm so bad. And then adopting some other upadhi, I'm bad. I'm this, my mind is more powerful than me. I am my mind. I am this thing, I am that thing. We have to see those faults, but we have to understand that that's not me. It really has nothing to do with me. I'm a spirit soul. I have nothing to do with the stupid mind or these activities of my body and all these different designations. And these faults that are there also, these faults are also really not me. We shouldn't identify with them. We should look for them and seek them out and do our best to overcome them. But as Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings in the song Gopinath, my dear Gopinath, I'm defeated. I can't control my mind. I can't do anything. Therefore, I'm praying to you. You're Rishikesh. You can control my mind. You can do these things. Otherwise, it's not possible for me on my own to control this wicked, wicked mind. Thank you.
Abhishayi Durjana. I am Abhishayi, I am a sensing joy. I'm a Durjana, I'm a very, very wicked person. Sadakama Rata, I'm always addicted to lusty activities. Kichu Nahi Moraguna, I don't have any good qualities. So in such a condition, Bhakti Mura prays.
Amara Bhayasa Hatuni Lodunata Amara Bhayasa Hatuni Tomara Charane Lohi Sayana Tomara Charane Lohi Sayana
Amada Bharasa Tumi, you're the only hope that I have. Oh, this is the only hope that we have. We have no other hope. I'm such a rascal. I'm so bad. But this is my only hope. So if we see these bad qualities in ourselves, we should use these to cry to Krishna. And not cry just to feel sorry for ourselves and wallow in self-pity and lock ourselves up somewhere and just, you know, watch television or do some nonsense thing because we feel so bad. That's what Arjuna's teaching us. Arjuna was wallowing in self-pity. And so he said, okay, I'm just going to commit suicide. And similarly, we want to just commit suicide, spiritual suicide. It's too much for me. I can't chant. I can't do this thing. I'm so bad. We identify that as ourself. But no, we have to have hope. We have to be have confidence. Utsaha nishchaya dharya. We have to have confidence. We have to have patience. That this may take a long time, but I don't give a damn. I'm going to keep doing this thing. Because what else is there? Is that okay? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gopi Manandi.